The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the 06-010.
Fantasy Focus live and with you every single day. Field Yates and Stefania Bell. It is a lovely day because it's just you and I, Stefania.
Oh,
interpret
Field,
that how you will.
See? Well, you know, I'm just going to take it as the compliment I think you meant it to be.
Right. This is not more of a, this is a compliment of you, not a reflection or indictment upon our good friend, Matthew Berry. Of course, Secret Squirrel, Kyle,
sure
Keith behind the glass. We got a big show today, Stefania.
Yes, we do.
I have not been doing this show forever. But in this is my fourth season, whatever it is.
The time flies when you're having fun.
But I have noticed that every year it feels like a struggle to get through Double Trouble. And yet here we are. We are handing out the final two teams of Double Trouble advice today on August 28th. That is a remarkable, expedient, efficient preseason for you people, the loyal listeners, and sometimes, well, downloaders, not so much listeners of the 06-010.
That real football is right around the corner.
So speaking of real football, let's just get right into it.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
Just 8 days away from real football, as Stefania talked about, and we'll talk about the Packers and the Bears, which has an interesting podcast tie
yes.
in just a minute. But Stefania, great day to have you here, as always. But today is a particularly notable one. With some injury issues, Ron Rivera said he has no doubt. He is, of course, the Panthers head coach, by the way. That Cam Newton will be ready for week one. This after what was described, I think, in sort of layman's terms as a foot sprain suffered last Thursday against the Patriots. Ron Rivera has no questions. Now, Stefania, A, do you have question marks? And B, if you think he's going to play, is this a less mobile Cam as a result of this recent injury?
First of all, to answer your question about Ron Rivera's confidence and my confidence, I know what the communication is like there between their medical staff and the head coach, and they are locked in step. So if he has no doubt, it's because he's being told that there is
no reason to doubt
Cam's availability. We saw Cam back. He's not in a boot or anything restrictive. He is going to be ready to go. And my understanding is that this injury was very mild. And if it had been the regular season, he might even have continued to play. But since it wasn't the regular season, everything precautionary was done. And I think everybody feels very good that you are going to see the Cam Newton that you hope to see when the season starts. And more importantly, his shoulder is doing really, really well. So we kind of paid attention to this because it's the most recent thing. But him coming off the shoulder surgery, I think everybody feels very good in Carolina about how he's throwing. He feels very free with his shoulder. This foot issue will not affect his shoulder mechanics. It's one of the things they consider looking at him coming off the foot thing,
okay.
Making sure he's not compensating. So again, everybody feeling very good about Cam's readiness to start the season. I would feel very comfortable putting him in my lineup.
But so no mobility issues either is what you're saying.
Nope.
Like no mobility issues.
Mobility
okay.
Issues.
That's good to know because so this sounds almost sick, but we are already starting our week one rankings because
right.
8 days until the regular season opener between the Packers and the Bears. I had Cam Newton a little bit further down than I think I normally would in a given week. Part of it's the matchup, but part of it was some concerns about the mobility. But you have sort of eased my concerns.
No concerns on my end.
How about this? During his career, and again, Cam's one of those rare quarterbacks who has a large sample size of mostly being really good. So it's not like, you know, during his career and the numbers are skewed because early on Cam stinks. No, Cam's always been good. 6.7 fantasy points per game for his career.
With his legs.
Have come with his legs.
Yeah.
Over a third of his values. To know that Cam Newton can be usual Cam Newton is good news there. DeSean Jackson, Eagles wide receiver, may not be able to be usual DeSean Jackson because he fractured his finger during practice, Stefania. Probably something that happens more than people realize for receivers.
Catching a football is hard on the hands.
Yeah, especially when it's being, you know, flung at you at many miles per hour by Carson Wentz or
correct.
Whoever was throwing it to him. Now, there has been, I don't want to say ambiguity, but it seems like there is confidence that he'll be good for week one, but not necessarily certainty.
Well, I think, first of all, let's talk about the injury. Fractured left ring finger. So fourth finger, left hand, non-dominant hand.
Hey, oh, I got a ring on my finger.
For
check
example,
that's why, people?
And you know what? That's why they call it the ring finger.
It all makes so much more sense.
Yes. Yeah, so I don't know if DeSean Jackson was wearing a ring at the time, but it is his ring finger, that reportedly, but non-dominant hand. So if you're going to pick a side, that's always preferable. And the really good receivers can sometimes work around these type of injuries. It depends on a couple of things. Where is the fracture? We don't know. Was it the tip of the finger or further down? But by the reaction, I would say that we can assume it was non-displaced, meaning the bony ends were in alignment, maybe a small crack. It's not out of position, something that would automatically require surgery. I will say this. Tim McManus, one of our NFL Nation reporters who covers the Eagles, said that he is seeing a hand specialist, DeSean Jackson is, today, Wednesday. And that will be sort of the final hurdle he needs to clear. Sounds like there's confidence within the building that he'll be available. But the hand specialist, not only to make sure that they're seeing everything they need to with the fracture, but you have a lot of soft tissue, ligaments and such in the area. You want to make sure that there's nothing that stands out that would make you more nervous about this injury. But assuming he gets clearance from the hand specialist, yes, you can play with an injury like this if all those things line up.
So we'll have much more context on this starting next Wednesday, because that's when the first practice reports for teams that play on Sunday of week one are due out. So we'll maybe know just how far along DeSean Jackson is. So not so much a week one observation, but it's a good reminder that should something happen to DeSean Jackson, there's this receiver sort of just waiting in the wings in Philadelphia, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who we discussed a little bit last week, second-round pick out of Stanford, a player that we think has a lot of upside, not a lot of opportunity right now. Good news, though, for DeSean Jackson in the grand scheme. And remember, they signed him to a three-year, $27 million deal. It was reworked when acquired from Tampa Bay. A lot of confidence in DeSean Jackson's ability in this offense.
Pretty amazing. 32 years old and still reportedly as fast as he ever was. I mean, my big concern with DeSean Jackson is, will his hamstrings hold up? Because that's where he's had some soft tissue injuries over time. And at 32, with the amount of that he's put his body through just playing in the NFL this long and what he does being a speed specialist, that's the risk. But right now, reportedly looking great on that front.
He certainly is unique with his ability to keep that speed at the age of 32. Kiki Coutee has basically been defined by injuries in some ways early on in his career. Bill O'Brien, the head coach for the Texans, said yesterday he was not hopeful for Kiki Coutee in week one. Stefania, what's going on here?
Well, the guy who said that it was his goal to really be healthy this entire season starts off with a preseason injury to his ankle that looks like it's going to cost him the first game of the year. And it sounds like they're talking about not expected for week one in the hopes that maybe he's available shortly thereafter. I don't think this is a long-term injury. But again, you look at the seasonal calendar when you factor these things in. If it were the end of the season or a playoff, might he play? You probably push it more then. But at the start of the year, you're not going to push it. So expect Kiki Coutee to sit this one out.
We discussed yesterday Duke Johnson, his value with Lamar Miller's injury. And part of it was, hey, you know, prior to the Lamar Miller injury, it was not as clear how Kiki Coutee and Duke Johnson could coexist in the same offense doing somewhat of similar things. Now we've got no Lamar Miller, unlikely Kiki Coutee in week one. In other words, Duke Johnson, you're going to be
busy. Have yourself a day.
Yeah, you're going to be quite busy in that week one matchup, of course, on ESPN against New Orleans. Whatever, throw the drop in there.
You're supposed to say I'm a company man.
Well, don't we have a Monday Night Football drop instead?
Maybe at one point we did.
Do you have
a Monday Night Football drop?
Yeah, pretty sure we do.
I don't think
Welcome back from the summer.
Okay, Stefania.
There we go.
Must have been Jackson moving my board around, that old rasp.
He is trying to scoop you so
he
hard.
He really is.
He's trying to replace you. Time now for double trouble.
No, this is now a word. I wanted to double up.
No, it's not allowed. You can't do that.
I can't do both of them.
Oh, it's so hard.
Okay, guys. If you want to come over here, so
double trouble. As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
Sorry, Daniel. My apologies there. Let's begin with the Green Bay Packers, one of our final two teams. And I mentioned the podcast tie here. So Kyle Soppe, the incredible researcher, the backbone of this podcast.
Many of our listeners.
In so many ways. Soon to be married, Kyle, is a massive, diehard, long, long time Packers fan. Kyle, overall outlook for this season, if you describe it in like 15 words or less. Optimistic?
In a tweet, I'm optimistic. New coaching staff, happy Aaron Rodgers, that says playoffs to me.
Okay, playoffs in the mind of Kyle Soppe. They play week one against the Bears, against Kenny Legan, our new director on the video side. His squad, we'll talk to Kenny, well, I guess we can't talk to Kenny. Kenny told me basically.
Kenny can hear us.
Yeah, but Kenny, I know, you know what? I get a sense that Kenny is confident because of the defense in Chicago.
Right.
But Aaron Rodgers, it feels weird because last year did not feel like a typical Aaron Rodgers year.
It wasn't.
He was banged up and
then hurt.
Right. Week one. Remember, he gets hurt in the first half of the first game last year, comes back and works miracles against the Bears in that Sunday night finish. He ranks third for me, third for you as well, Stefania. His ADP right now amongst quarterbacks is also third. It's weird that in a down year, now sometimes, you know, nuance paints a more accurate picture, but just like raw numbers, 4,442 passing yards, 25 passing touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 269 yards on the ground, 2 rushing touchdowns. He was quarterback 6 overall.
That
speaks to the brilliance of Aaron Rodgers that he can be that sort of average in terms of general perception. And yet still be the 6th best quarterback in fantasy football last season.
I think if you break it down, what you saw just from the eye test and understanding the injury he had, remember, he had the full weight of a defender fall on his hip and his knee was in this awkward position. And so it basically bumped together one side of the knee joint. And we always heard about it being a deep bone bruise. People may have heard Aaron Rodgers talking about it after the season, saying he played with a fracture. When you have a deep bone bruise, you actually get these microscopic fractures in there. So if people were confused, like, how did he do that? Well, it's amazing that he did it, but it's essentially he was playing with a bone bruise that needed to heal. The healing process had to be slowed somewhat by the fact that he continued to play on it. He wore a special kind of brace to take weight off that side of the joint. He wasn't as mobile. That's what we saw. I mean, he simply could not scramble and he didn't get the benefit of his legs that he often does as part of his fantasy value. And we saw him throw it more often. You know, he was throwing so much that we saw some inaccuracy that we don't usually see from him. But there was nothing about last year that made you feel less confident for this season, as long as you knew the health was good, and the health is good now.
I think the value for Aaron Rodgers is going to be almost perfectly slotted this year, because in previous years, you've been paying a premium on Aaron Rodgers because he's Aaron freaking Rodgers. Now, this year, the ceiling is not the same as Patrick Mahomes. It's probably not the same as Deshaun Watson. Aaron Rodgers, a very good running threat, not as dynamic as Watson. But here's what you know about Rodgers, okay? Throws for a ton of yards. He's going to be very accurate, or I should say he's going to not turn the football over. 12.5 touchdowns to interception ratio last year, best in the NFL. He had just 2 picks. I mean, the guy is very careful with the football. The accuracy, though, is what was bothersome last year. And, you know, there was some bad body language stuff from time to time last year. There was obviously they changed the coach for a reason. Mike McCarthy was dismissed. There was it wasn't even reports. It was just a general feeling that the offensive system was not aligned in total last year.
And everyone could see it, that they were
no
out
question.
Of sync. I just want to, because Thirsty Kyle gave us this, he was off target, Rodgers was, on 19.9% of his passes last year, 4th highest rate in the NFL. Again, that's my reference to that comes with the fact that he was compromised, he was injured, and sometimes he was just trying to get away from pressure without having to run.
Well, that was a big part of it, too. A lot of throwaways last year. You go follow people that follow the Packers closely. You saw plenty of that last season.
You see him lined up with a great receiver that he loves.
However, that's where I think, that's why I think the ceiling for Rodgers. People say, what's the difference between Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes, for example? Mahomes, good runner, like Rodgers, not Deshaun Watson, etc., is that the supporting cast. That's okay. When I say there's a ceiling on Aaron Rodgers, like I'm still talking about, like, you know, the 2nd or 3rd best quarterback in fantasy football, but I think my headline here is that based off of where he is ranked, he's going to be drafted more appropriately with what kind of value his ceiling would return, as opposed to last year when you're taking Aaron Rodgers at like the back end of the second round. We're in on Aaron Rodgers. He's Aaron freaking Rodgers.
Right.
Devontae Adams, we're also in on. Let's keep this one simple. I mean, is there a steadier receiver in football than Devontae Adams? I made the case earlier on in the year that Travis Kelce was the, I would say like the most predictably solid player in fantasy football this year. Devontae Adams is right there. I've got him at wide receiver one. You've got him at wide receiver two. His ADP is wide receiver three. He played in 15 games last year, had a target share of 30%. He had at least 16 fantasy points in all 15 games he played.
That's good.
He's the only player in the NFL with at least 10 touchdown catches in each of the past three seasons. There's only one other guy, DeAndre Hopkins, who's done it in back-to-back seasons. Devontae Adams, underrated. I don't think it's fair to call a guy who makes $17 million a year underrated. Whatever you want to call it, Stefania. The guy's unbelievable.
Right. And I think that we appreciate the value. I have DeAndre Hopkins, because of his big playability, up one more over Devontae Adams. But I think the consistency factor, I think we just sort of take it for granted. It's like this automatic understanding between Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. We've already seen that prior to last season. So I think that if you have a healthy Aaron Rodgers and a healthy Devontae Adams, and you can keep that combo going all season long, they could finish as the top quarterback wide receiver duo.
No question about it. Them or probably Watson would be, or Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes, any of those three. But here's what I would say, is that if I'm in the first round and I'm the person that's going to break up the running back run to begin my draft, so if it's, let's say it's in some order, Saquon, Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, David Johnson, et cetera, yeah. Zeke maybe in there. If I'm the person that's breaking the running back run to begin my draft, it's with Devontae Adams. He's that reliable. He's that dependable. And sometimes we confuse reliable with like not also superstar. He's a superstar. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Where it gets really interesting for the Packers, though, is with the number two wide receiver, because for many years, you knew the number two wide receiver in Green Bay or number two pass catcher was going to yield really good fantasy production. Let's introduce the names here. Geronimo Allison, who I have ranked as wide receiver 56, you've got at wide receiver 50, Stefania, which is just in line with his ADP of wide receiver 50. Maybe people forget this, but prior to last year, he was red hot out of the gates. And then was it a groin issue, for hernia? Do you remember having to recall on Geronimo Allison?
I don't recall it off the top of my head, but he was compromised a bit. And as Aaron Rodgers often does, it's kind of like you find the guy who's available. I mean, that's been something that Rodgers has dealt with in multiple seasons. When Randall Cobb was there and he'd be out for a few games, you'd kind of be interested to see who's going to be the next one to step up and take advantage of the volume. So yes, Allison hurt by absence.
He can play in the slot. And you know what, I think Aaron Rodgers, maybe more so than any other quarterback in football, will be very candid about his wide receivers during training camp.
Yeah,
and like, I mean that yeah. Sometimes calling him out. He has been very complimentary of Geronimo Allison in the past. This is a player that has earned Aaron Rodgers' trust. I mentioned during the first 4 weeks last year, top 30 wide receiver. He had 64 or more yards in all four of those games. Now, the target share was just 18.5%. But if there's an avenue to fantasy relevance this year, it's that he becomes the clear-cut number two wide receiver.
The problem is
that they drafted three wide receivers last year. That's right. So Jamon Moore was a fourth-round pick. Marquez Valdez-Scantling was a fifth-round pick, I believe it was. He comes from USF. And then finally, we had Equanimeous St. Brown from the Green Bay Packers,
really
sixth-round pick
best
out of Notre Dame.
Names trio.
No question.
Of the wide receivers in the NFL, let's be honest.
I completely agree
Equanimeous
with that. Equanimeous St. Brown.
Valdez Scantling.
Yeah.
I mean, Geronimo.
Geronimo. MVS.
That's a mic drop.
Was what we ended up sort of shorting it to. I called him, I have him at wide receiver 50, you have him at wide receiver 48. ADP is at wide receiver 51. So what,
I mean, look how close these guys are.
Yeah.
I think it reflects the uncertainty, right? Of who's going to, who becomes a clear cut number two.
When I see players categorized like this, what it tells me is that a lot of people buy into the idea that if a second wide receiver sprouts in Green Bay, there's fantasy value there. The problem is because we're so split on who it will be, you can't have that much confidence in, like, let me just say this. If a clear-cut number two wide receiver emerges, he's going to finish as much higher than wide receiver 49 or 50.
Right.
He's going to finish as probably closer to wide receiver 25. But if you have two, you may not have any.
Right.
Right?
The difference gets split and it pushes their value down. But that makes it that much more valuable to draft either one of these guys at the place where they're going.
It's an upside flyer. And I'll just, before I get to Daniel's quick question, I'll just say on Valdez-Scantling, the book on him is this: huge, but he can play from the slot, has these long levers. He can make some pretty unique catches. Aaron Rodgers, again, praised him quite a bit last year. Think about quarterback wide receiver trust. Okay in terms of efficiency, actually pretty average in terms of efficiency. 38 catches on 73 targets. Whether that's poor quarterback play, whether that's a lack of ability to get open and create separations consistently, whatever you want to chalk that up to. And there was not a huge volume. He had just three games last year with more than three catches, which is where Daniel, I know, wants to get in the mix. What do you got?
Well, so I just got a question for you. By the way, I am so excited. The idea that you're talking about somebody as having long levers is just like the coolest thing to me.
Scouting term, you know?
Yeah, I've never heard that before.
Go gadget, right?
I'm going to say that all the time now.
You got stubby levers.
Yeah. Do I have stubby levers?
No, you're average.
You're average.
Probably you're average.
No, you're normal. Yeah. You have normal levers.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that makes me feel better. Understanding where both of the, and you may have said this. I got thrown off by what you just said.
Matthew,
so you may have already said this, but. Is it ridiculous? I'm in a couple different leagues where I have actually drafted both Geronimo Allison and MVS because where they're at with the value, if one of them hits, then the other one just becomes a waiver wire throwaway for me. Like, is that crazy?
No. I tell people, like,
they don't both know that they are on your team. This is the thing that right. when we talk about players
I actually
from the
tweeted
same
at both of them to say,
in your case, they might not know. Do you think that they're going to spend Sunday trying to figure out who is going to get more points for you? I don't think so.
One thing I would say is that, rules go out the window in some ways, in like the second, maybe like rounds like 11 to 16 of your draft, understanding that you're going to take a defense and a kicker in those two rounds. So that's what, six slots. Four of them are sort of comparable lottery tickets. So if it's not Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Geronimo Allison, then it's, Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Deebo Samuel, right? So like, I don't think like diversifying your portfolio with like two, one Packer and one 49er is any more likely to yield, yes, you have a chance to get two stars, but I think it's less likely that MVS and Geronimo Allison are stars in this offense than it is that one of them plus Deebo Samuel is. But if you think that there is a chance that, for sure one of them is, like, you kind of guaranteed stardom with one of those two picks.
Right. And that's sort of where I was at. That makes me feel better because I've been having such a hard time sleeping at night knowing that that is exactly where I've been.
Daniel,
you, son of a biscuit, will you please tell me the segues.
What's your number, Daniel? And I'm not talking about your phone.
Oh, you mean my sleep number?
There it is. Yeah.
That's a great question. When was the last time you really slept great?
Isn't it last night, I'll tell you that much.
Not last night. Isn't it strange that we'll try just about anything to sleep better when it could actually be time for a new mattress? If you aren't getting the quality sleep you deserve, you should check out the Sleep Number bed. Right now at Sleep Number stores, it's the biggest sale of the year. All beds are on sale and queen mattresses start at just $8.99. Wish your mattress could be firmer or softer? That's what the Sleep Number bed is famous for. You can adjust each side so it's just right for both of you. How about a bed that also helps keep you asleep? The Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and automatically adjusts so you're effortlessly comfortable all night long. Will you love it? Just ask J.D. Power. Sleep Number has been ranked number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses. For 2018 award information, visit jdpower.com. So come in during the biggest sale of the year, and for a limited time, save 50% on a Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. You'll only find Sleep Number at one of their 575 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find the one nearest you at sleepnumber.com/FFF.
Sleepy. I'm very sleepy after hearing that, Daniel, but good stuff right there. So let's continue through with these Packers running backs. Sort of like the wide receivers, you've got multiple guys that you're considering. Free Aaron Jones was a movement generated off the podcast last year, thanks in large part to Matthew's love for the fifth round pick in the 2017 draft out of UTEP. Aaron Jones last year had 728 rushing yards, 9 total touchdowns, finishing as running back 24. Remember, he did serve a suspension to begin last year for 2 games. Then it took a while for him to become the go-to guy in Green Bay. I've got him at running back 15. Stefania has him at running back 17. 2 spots behind his ADP of 19 amongst running backs. So he missed two games to begin last year. He missed two games to finish last year with an MCL carry, MCL injury, Stefania. But I just think that as much as we in the fantasy world like Aaron Jones, the question mark is not what we think of him. The question mark is going to be, will the Green Bay coaching staff, led by now Matt LaFleur, think of him as a similar player to what we saw last year with Mike McCarthy? Because if he's the clear-cut guy, the value's great.
Exactly. This is the whole thing. Is he going to be the feature back guy?
Yeah.
Or is there going to be this workload share with Jamal Williams? And I have not seen enough of a sample size to really appreciate that. So last year, I was at Packers camp when they opened, right? At the start of the year. And there was a lot of buzz around what Aaron Jones could be or would be. Then he had a hamstring injury and he was not available for most of the preseason, followed up by the suspension. And I think that had a lot to do with why there was that slow start, as you mentioned. Then he has the MCL injury late in the season. You've got that along with the compromised ability of Aaron Rodgers. I would also suggest that the dysfunction going on there in Green Bay played a role in that, because it was really not clear what the offensive plan would be or who was driving it.
So that part's true. And I think with Aaron Jones and the idea of being a workhorse back, Stefania, is that very few teams prescribe to the one workhorse back theory, right? I mean,
and smartly, I would argue, because sure, most guys aren't able to hold up for that.
So if you're going to bank on Aaron Jones being like a top eight player week to week, it would be on the idea that Matt LaFleur says, I care not for your lack of a workhorse theory. Like, I am in on Aaron Jones. I think that he's a really fine player that will have some top 10 running back weeks. Little bit concerned, though, just because of what you said. Hey, if you don't commit to him full time, can he emerge with the likes of a Le'Veon Bell, a David Johnson, a Todd Gurley, the guys who are not quite in that very top tier, but are at least a close second? He gained 5 or more yards on 42.9% of his carries. That was the second highest rate amongst qualified running backs last year. He scored on 4 of his 6 goal-to-goal carries. When he got the opportunities, he did well. But they do have a capable back in Jamal Williams, who's also there. I've heard Matt LaFleur, and I remember talking about the combine, say, hey, listen, we want to get both of these guys involved. Remember, Matt LaFleur's background most recently was Derrick Henry and Deion Lewis.
Right.
Now, Henry ran so wild in the last quarter that Lewis's role was certainly mitigated. But for a while, it was a legitimate 2 running back attack. We both, though, feel as though Aaron Jones, strong candidate as a second running back with the possibility of emerging as a top 12 play if things shake right for him. Jamal Williams actually played really good at the end of last season.
Aaron Jones was out.
Right. He did play well when Aaron Jones was out. In those two games, the last two games that he had at least 10 or more carries, he nearly averaged 6 yards a pop, 126 total yards per game, and nearly 24 fantasy points per game. Last season, he had 464 rushing yards with 12 fewer carries than Aaron Jones. One was a big play threat, one was not. But he did have 3 total touchdowns and 27 catches. So he was not a non-factor for this offense, was Jamal Williams. I think it's one of those, this is not what you want for fantasy, Stefania. He's good enough to merit time on the field. He's just not good enough to dominate. That's the thing. He's good enough to get enough time on the field that it decreases the value of Aaron Jones.
Right. But here's another wrench to throw into it. He has dealt with a hamstring injury this preseason and hasn't been on the field much. And so I think that was a concern, too, is how would Jamal Williams hold up? So between the two of them, again, this is one of those where if one of them were hurt, there's probably huge opportunity for the other. Aaron Jones, definitely my far preferred back, but he doesn't fall into that category of the huge workload running back.
Here's Jamal Williams' value. One of the best handcuffs in fantasy, if he is healthy. They've been churning through the back end of the roster to find healthy running backs. But if Jamal Williams is healthy, he is a top handcuff back this year. Jimmy Graham, he continues to sort of plug away. I've got him at tight end 18. Also where Mike Clay has him, he's tight end 17 in terms of ADP right now.
Yeah.
15 with Jimmy Graham, Stefania, not the same player he was going back to his days in New Orleans. But there aren't very many strong, capable tight ends that can dominate the red zone. So what's your confidence level there?
I think it's that, A, we're getting a healthy Aaron Rodgers. So yeah. I think that factored into the equation because where Jimmy Graham, to me, where Jimmy Graham is useful for the Packers and for fantasy purposes is as a potential threat in the end zone. He yeah. is the big guy who can get open, can't get as vertical as he used to. That's sort of a result of the age and the injury that he had, but he can still get down the sideline really well. That I was able to see. So I think another year with Aaron Rodgers and both of them healthy, I think he does present that he'll be that occasional touchdown guy.
Yeah.
But not enough to put him in your top 10.
Matt LaFleur has also expressed confidence in Jimmy Graham, likes what he saw out of him. We'll see. He had a 14.5 red zone, 14.5% red zone target share, which is the lowest rate of his since he was a rookie back in 2010. Remember, there were days where you'd just expect Jimmy Graham to land in the end zone at least once a game. Those days are behind us, but at a weak position, Jimmy Graham sort of on the radar. Take a quick break, and on the way, on the other side, talk about the Bears. All right, Kenny, who handles our videos, does a great job, and this is his first season on the show, so it's been great to get him up to speed on all the variety of, like, you know, little things we do on the show, the inside jokes, the segments, the bits, whatever you want to call them. Kenny will be a good addition to the show all season, and the Bears are going to make him very happy this year, because I think Vegas is wrong. Vegas has just 9 wins for the Bears. Pound the over is what I say this season. They might
Hold on just a second. Because when we were in Detroit, you pounded the over on the Lions saying right. they were going to win the. So the
They're going 16-0 as well.
Okay, so the Lions are going to go 16-0. The Bears are also going to be over
what
on 9.
What in the world is Green Bay doing?
The whole NFC North is probably going to win 12 games,
correct.
It sounds like. Yeah,
right.
Okay.
They're going right. to lose. They're all going to go 3-3 in the division. And then they're going to each lose one game outside of the division.
So 12-4 for everyone.
12-4 for everybody.
Okay, I like
it.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, not, nobody's my, taking that gamble. No.
My fantasy take of the year.
I'm good
right
on
there.
That.
Mitch Trubisky comes in at quarterback 19 for me, quarterback 18 for Stefania, which is identical to his ADP of 18. Fascinating player. I was in Chicago over the weekend for the
yes.
ESPN Fantasy Convention. ESPN Chicago does a tremendous job
yes,
with that
do.
Event this year.
I'm sorry to miss that.
Love being a part of that, and it's always interesting to see what they are talking about as fans. One of the most passionate fan bases in football.
All I know is last year when we were there,
yeah.
the Mitch Trubisky hype was like through the roof.
I think where I would say if I had to take the temperature of the room,
yes.
I think that we were like it was a near even split. Now, certainly more confidence than not in Mitch Trubisky, but there was a there's a quiet confidence with also a tacit admission that, like, it's the year for Mitch. Because
right.
if it doesn't happen this year, no more excuses, right? It's not a new system anymore. He's not a rookie anymore. It's second year in a system, very good cast of playmakers. And, like, at some point, you know, the Bears have gone in some ways all in.
Right.
And that changes after year three because Trubisky would at that point be eligible for a new deal. Now, they may not give it to him, but still, like, everything changes for a quarterback after 3 years. So a huge year ahead for Trubisky.
And they're coming, all the playmakers that you mentioned, all coming in healthy
yep.
or relatively so.
Sure.
So there's really no excuse to not get off to a good start.
So, but here's the thing about Mitch Trubisky is that, yes, he can have brilliant moments. He really can. We saw it last year. He had five games last year with 40-plus rushing yards. Weeks 4 through 8, he had 4 straight games of 21-plus points. The only quarterback with a longer streak than that in 2018 was Andrew Luck, who had 8. 421 rushing yards, 6.2 yards per carry. All of those things are good for Mitch Trubisky. The problem is he had under 15 fantasy points in 8 of his 14 games, and Tristan Cockcroft, who does a great job of sizing up consistency, had him as the third least consistent quarterback of 2018. What I found myself asking Stefania is, and by the way, I will hence to going forward refer to him as Mitchell Trubisky, which is how Kenny deems him. And Bears fans, what Bears fans say, I give it to them.
He just got in my ear and he was like, please tell Field to put some respect on that name.
Put
all
some
right?
respect on my name. It's Mitchell Trubisky.
Does he not like Mitch? I really don't know this.
No,
yes, he prefers Mitch. It's the way okay. that I prefer Daniel or Matthew prefers Matthew rather than Matt.
You said he prefers Mitch.
Yes, he prefers Mitchell.
Mitchell.
Well, remember he said during the draft, he was like, you know, I'm agnostic. Like, my mom calls me Mitchell, but everybody else calls him Mitch.
Well, of course your mother calls you with your full name.
I want to call you what your mother calls you.
This is the Alvin Kamara Kamara of quarterback names. Kamara says it could be Kamara, it can be Kamara, whatever. He's cool with it.
That's just not even true. It's literally one or the other. Well, he just needs to choose.
You can speak to Alvin Kamara.
Oh, but we do know is that there's no T in his last name, and Matthew's not here to butcher that, so it's Mitchell Trubisky.
Trubisky, so.
That part we can get right.
Mitchell Trubisky. We'll go with Mitchell for the rest of this segment. What I have found myself asking Stefania about quarterbacks that are not in the top 10 is basically this. If you walked out of your draft and Mitchell Trubisky was your quarterback, how would you feel about it going into this season? Would you roster just Trubisky? Would you feel the need to, would you be confident? Would you be already looking at the waiver wire? What will be the tenor of your feeling coming out of that draft?
I would be thinking about the strategy of sort of choosing my quarterbacks weekly. I'm not necessarily confident in having Trubisky be my starter all the way through the season, although I'd be willing to, like, I would certainly put him in the first week. So let's say he is my starting quarterback. That's who I've got. In a deeper league, that's who you might end up with. I would be comfortable starting him out of the gate, but I would have a very short leash. And there's enough talent at the quarterback position that you could essentially float your quarterbacks every week depending on who your opponent is, what the matchup looks like. I mean, he's a quarterback.
Who your opponent is or who the team, who the Bears' opponent
right, right,
is.
Right.
Whoever your quarterback is playing that week, what the matchups are.
But I would feel comfortable. To me, he's like the, we talked about the two quarterback leagues, like a solid two quarterback league player.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'd feel about him. Fantasy-wise, I'd have some uncertainty about him on a consistent... Basically, it goes back to Tristan's consistency rating.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Is that, like, there are some people that believe strongly that Mitch Trubisky is bound for stardom this year. And if you're of that belief, then roll with it. And again, if it's a 16-team league, then I wish I had a second quarterback on my roster. If it's a 10-team league, 12-team league, I'm fine with it. There are a lot of players that fit into that sliding scale of comfort for quarterbacks. Allen Robinson is the number one wide receiver in terms of pay. He was wide receiver 40 last year, Stefania. I don't think it was a great season for Robinson.
He wasn't.
Coming off of an ACL, I have him ranked 29th amongst wide receivers. That's where his ADP is as well. You've got him at 26. You feel more confident than I do. You feel confident... also that you think that the ACLs and, I mean, it's just his health is in a much better spot this year.
Much better spot. So you're always, you know, what we liked last year was coming off the ACL. He had the injury early. So we thought he would get back to have the whole season available. The problem is, as is often the case, these guys struggle with other soft tissue injuries. We saw it with him. There was a groin issue during part of the season. Maybe a hamstring issue in there, but enough that it cost him some games and it cost him the ability to play effectively in other games. So it wasn't just the total games that he was out. And I think that hurt the synchronization between him and Trubisky. And I think that now you're getting a much healthier, 1 year removed from surgery, Allen Robinson. You've got the experience of those two working together for another year. And I actually think he has a little more upside than most people probably are granting him.
It's interesting. So he got better at the end of the season from weeks 10 through 16. He did not play in week 17 because they already clinched what they needed to clinch. He had a 22.2% target share. That's pretty good. It's not dominant for a wide receiver one within his respective offense. But like Trubisky, Allen Robinson was up and down last year. He had no more than three catches or 54 receiving yards in six of the 13 games that he played last season. His air yards per target was down last year compared to where he was in Jacksonville, more of a big play threat. I'm okay with Allen Robinson. I think he's got the ability to be a really, really nice flex play for you this year. I just have a bit of nerves because, like, I think it's not just like quarterback inconsistency. It's the fact that they've got so many guys on this offense,
right.
So many players on this offense, which includes Anthony Miller, a trendy pick as a potential breakout this year. 15 games last year. He had 33 catches for 423 yards. He had 7 receiving touchdowns. I am as wide receiver 48, but Stefania, you particularly optimistic here. You got him at wide receiver 42. Player you like? What's the motivation?
I still think in this range that there's you know, we're getting nitpicky. Even though it's six slots ahead of where you have him, it's still out of your top wide receivers that you're drafting.
Fair.
Yep. But I do think that these receivers in this offense have the potential for upside, and that's, I guess, what I'm valuing. Because if everybody's play improves, you've got the healthier Allen Robinson, you've got a Mitchell Trubisky who is under pressure, if you will, to be more effective and consistent this season. I think they have the potential to have this passing game open up with their threats on the ground, including new David Montgomery. So if that happens, these guys each have upside.
It really, for me with Anthony Miller, it's all about player development, the scouting eye here. Because if you look at the numbers last year, the 7 receiving touchdowns was nice, but I mean, it's sort of an outlier, right? I mean, he didn't have a game with more than 5 catches last year. He had just one game with 50 plus receiving yards. Normally when you have 7 receiving touchdowns and you lead your team, you have far more consistent production than that. This is a bank on scouting and player growth from year 1 to year 2. This was a guy they traded up for. They traded up into the second round, sending a second round pick, I believe this. So like they traded up into the 2018 second round and paid a 2019 second rounder. Teams only mortgage future picks when they feel really strongly about a player. I think that's how the Bears feel about Anthony Miller. Hiring is challenging, but there's only one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates, and that place is ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate to the site within the first day. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com. One more time. /06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. I said this in our pre-show meeting, and I mean it sincerely. I don't think any player's stock has improved more this preseason than David Montgomery of the Chicago Bears, who now I have at running back 23. Stephon, you have him at running back 23 as well. Mike Clay has him at running back 26. I will be the first to admit, I was a little bit slow to roll here. I thought to myself, Tariq Cohen, good player. Mike Davis, good player who they signed to pretty good money. But then I started to dig a little bit deeper on this, pay a little bit more attention to what the Bears think about this player in David Montgomery, watch the preseason action of him that we have, and I get it, preseason, usual caveats apply. Lot to like here about David Montgomery, and in the same way that you were referencing the buzz surrounding Mitch Trubisky last year or in previous years,
this is where Chicago's hype is now.
David Montgomery is the unofficial hype man of the Chicago Bears fans going into this season. Terrific player at Iowa State. Did not run really fast during the combine, but just like rugged, I would say instinctive, tough runner with good speed and really good in the passing game. Stefania, he seems to have emerged as the guy in fantasy football for the Bears backfield.
I think so. That's kind of where I feel. I mean, it's also reflected in my ranking of Tariq Cohen. I think that Dave Montgomery has a chance to prove himself as the guy who will demand the primary workload at the running back position for the Bears. I thought this was interesting what Kyle said. More than twice as likely to break a 5-yard or more run last season. This is what you want in your runners, is this ability to break tackles and get additional yardage. And I don't see him giving up a lot of time on the field if he proves to be that guy.
We'll see. It's really interesting. So teams, you know, the draft being after free agency means you have to consider that when a team signs a player in free agency, it doesn't know what's going to happen in the draft.
Correct.
Right? So you'd be more nervous about, like, so if it was the opposite.
I know what you're saying.
If the draft took place and then free agency, then you'd say like, oh, well,
they
gave Mike Davis.
Right. Right.
In this case, because David Montgomery was taken after Mike Davis was signed.
I feel like Mike Davis is the insurance or the odd guy out.
He's a nice player, by the way. Very nice player is Mike Davis.
We saw him before at my team.
But David Montgomery feels like the guy to me. Tariq Cohen last year had a really, really interesting fantasy season. Running back 11 overall. And yet, he had six games in which he had single-digit scoring. Four games with over 22 points. He's kind of the Deshaun Jackson of previous years for running backs. He's an incredible pass catcher, Stefania. I've got him at running back 35. You've got him at running back 37. I think I'm taking the cheese a little bit here because recently Matt Nagy has talked about or has referenced the possibility of a sort of more bite-sized role for Tariq Cohen, who is tiny. I mean, like, you're not the kind of guy that you want to be rushing 20 or, you know, even 15 times a game.
Why he's not getting the carries inside the goal line either.
Yep. But he is really talented, Stefania, and he can be a game breaker. And if you're going to have a player that you slot into your flex spot, it will be nice on occasion for that player to win you your week. And Tariq Cohen presents exactly that.
I think he could. I mean, what we saw out of him was he's mobile. He's got great quickness, you know, and like you said, he can be a game breaker. So he can have these big moments. But I have trouble when there's a consistency question of how much can I count on this player? Or am I just hoping that he's going to get a big break here and there? For me, that's why I rank him a little bit lower, because I think David Montgomery is going to be the clearly dominant one. I think I felt like last year between Howard and Cohen, it felt like this was going to be a true tandem. And then it wasn't completely.
It was a tandem that I didn't think there was a lot of rhythm to, if that makes sense. Right.
Like, it was no thunder and lightning.
It wasn't like during the game you knew exactly what to expect. But this much we know about Tariq Cohen. He's not going to be busy inside the goal line or near the goal line. He had just seven touches inside the 10-yard line last season. Right. So if you're getting Tariq Cohen and banking on him, you got to bank on him being heavily involved in the passing game. 71 catches last year. That's a remarkable total. We'll see if he can repeat that. I'm a little bit less optimistic this season. We mentioned Mike Davis, the kind of guy that presents some unique backup value for the Bears. One more player here in this offense is Trey Burton, who I've got as tight end 20. Stefania, you seem to be a bit more optimistic here. I say this, he was a guy that when I was in Chicago, and again, this is just taking the temperature of a room here. I don't know about impatience, but a player that people in Chicago were already sort of...
Well, they were kind of comparing, he liked the next Eckerts, right? Wasn't that the conversation?
Yeah, the hope, yeah.
And I think Mike Clay thinks he still is because he has him ranked at tight end 12. I've got him lower at tight end 18. I think, you know, my understanding is that he was healthy coming into this season, so that factored a little bit into last year.
Sure.
But I also, maybe you can chalk it up to the new offense and new system and not everybody being in sync, but it didn't feel like there was huge opportunity for a scoring tight end there.
Yeah, there's just a lot. First of all, there's a lot of mouths to feed. I mean, we didn't even discuss necessarily that much of Taylor Gabriel on this roster still, right? I mean, like, they have players that they can sort of find value in themselves. Trey Burton, Adam Shaheen amongst tight ends, if Shaheen ever gets healthy and stays healthy, like, they've got a lot of guys they have to find a way to get the football to. And oh, by the way, last year, to end the season, Trey Burton was held under 40 receiving yards in 10 straight games. What kind of upside are you getting?
Yeah.
Target share is just 14.2%, which is fine for a tight end, but if you're not banking on massive yardage, if you're not banking on a ton of touchdown upside, then I like the player. I just think he's a really unique player. I just think for fantasy football purposes.
He might be a good player for them and what they're trying to do, but tight end 17, weeks 10 through 17 last year, that's not exciting for fantasy purposes. Right?
Might just be a couple more players that present more touchdown upside elsewhere. Now, if you follow the money, it was good money last year. We'll see. It's a pivot year again for Trey.
It'd be interesting to see if at the end of this year, if everything's all flipped upside down in terms of who are the big offensive stars in Chicago.
Well, if they have a bunch of offensive stars, well, we need to buy some tickets to Bears playoff games. And we can do that by Stefania visiting where?
SeatGeek.
Let's go.
Boy, Field, you and Daniel vying for best segues into the live reads today.
We're going for.
Do you ever feel like ticketing websites make getting to the event difficult on purpose?
All the time.
Sure do.
It's as if they're so big, they can get away with not caring about the customer experience.
Yep.
The real question is, how easy would it be if those ticketing sites actually cared?
So much easier.
So much easier. With millions of live event tickets and a price match guarantee, SeatGeek proves there's a better way. Search sports, live music, comedy, and more. SeatGeek has the tickets you're looking for all in one place. They built the fastest way to find tickets so you can stop searching for the perfect seat and start enjoying it. A quick look at the App Store shows over 50,000 five-star reviews. Kind of like what Field gets in a single day.
50,000?
Yeah. How's that for customer satisfaction?
Take that.
SeatGeek pulls together millions of tickets from all over the web. Then it rates each deal on a scale of 1 to 10. Finally, SeatGeek displays them on an interactive seat map. SeatGeek breaks down the details. Green dots mean good deals. Red dots are overpriced. And every purchase is fully guaranteed so you can shop for tickets with confidence. SeatGeek will even give you $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All you need to do is use our promo code. Download the SeatGeek app today. Use promo code FFF for $10 off on your first purchase. That's promo code FFF for $10 off on your first purchase.
All right, Daniel. We now have two more submissions to Listeners League.
We have more submissions to the Listeners League. Stefania, you were not here yesterday when we did some submissions.
Yes.
Wait, do you?
I've heard.
Okay, do you want to address that before we go into these other ones, I guess?
Yeah, but I do.
Okay.
I do, because, and really, the person who needs to hear it is not here today, but I'm sure he's listening.
Sure. That was weird. Yeah.
When you really have...
coughed up a piece of granola there.
A lovely young lady whose middle name is going to be...
Belle. Yeah.
Right, like the name of one of the hosts of the show going to be part of her name. I mean, this is a commitment for life.
It is a lifelong commitment.
It is a commitment for life. And she's actually already listening in the womb, apparently.
You know what? So for anybody that did not listen yesterday, one of these submissions was a pregnant mother and her husband who both listen, their unborn daughter. They would like to name
Emily.
Yes. They would like to name after Stefania, middle name. They would do Belle. And this was a maybe for Matthew, naming their child after you.
Right. When Matthew, every single session is like, oh, you're having a girl? Her name could be Maddie. Oh, you're having a boy? It should be Matthew.
Right.
Oh, you listen to the show and you like me? You're in.
And he's at like this freaking supermarket and they're like, hey, do you want paper or plastic? And he's like, yeah, you can be in the league. Sure.
Exactly. So this one, I'm here. I'm putting my foot down.
So you're saying that Amelie and
her mom, Tracy.
And her mom, Tracy.
Her dad, why not? If he wants to be. But really, it's about the ladies.
Amelie and Tracy. Okay. So we call it the show league.
I know.
Ready for this?
Ready?
Amelie and Tracy, welcome to the show league.
Put it on the board.
All right, Daniel, welcome to Amelie and Tracy. What else you got for us in terms of submissions?
All right, this one comes from Jonathan P. Hello, everyone in the 0670.
Hello.
My name is Jonathan P., and I would love to be a part of the show league. I am currently in my final year at Arizona State University.
Nice. What's up?
And I'm currently working, doing an internship, and being a personal trainer for adults with Down syndrome.
Aww.
I listen to the Fantasy Focus podcast every morning before my busy day, and you all help me start the day off right. I've always loved doing fantasy football, but this year, I enjoy it even more because I have a workout buddy who has Down syndrome who loves fantasy football as well.
That's awesome.
Even though communication between us can be difficult at times, nothing stops us when we talk about fantasy football. Fantasy and you guys have helped me bridge the gap between him and I love seeing the excitement in his face when we talk about it. I would love the opportunity for him and I to be a part of the league where we will try and win it together. I want to thank you all for your consideration and the opportunity. That is Jonathan P. from Arizona State University.
You know, we always talk about fantasy football bringing people together.
Yeah.
You know, and bringing people who might not even otherwise have something in common together. I love this.
Me too.
So this strikes a couple of notes here. Obviously, first of all, we have someone who's taking care of themselves, educating themselves. Great to hear. I think that's just, you know, doing something for those that may need more than others is tremendous. Stefania has a long, passionate history of, you know, physical therapy and wellness and just overall, you know, doing well, doing good for your body. I read the show before the note, full disclosure. So the surprise was already out. I was already in. So not going to get any pushback from me.
I love it. So we want to say Jonathan P.
We're going to Stefania in or no?
Yeah. Oh, no, that's what I was saying.
100%. You're already in.
Yeah.
Love it. All right. Then Jonathan P.
Welcome to the show league.
Put it on the board.
Good stuff. Anything else, Daniel? Wow, what do we got? We tapped or no?
We got one more going to do.
Okay, let's hear it.
I'm going to try and be quick about this. It's a little bit long. This one comes from Randy.
Okay.
To my most mediocre fantasy experts, and I'm going to skip the first little paragraph where he talks about being a teacher, but he is a teacher.
He's a teacher.
Mm-hmm. He's a teacher in Wyoming, therefore he's a huge Josh Allen fan. Okay.
And he likes using fantasy football for math.
Yes, he
which
does.
Which is fantastic.
Which is great.
We love this.
He's been listening since the days of Nate and Matthew, so here we go. 3 weeks ago, my wife gave birth to our first child, a son named Riley. That's the good news. The not so good news is that he was born at 29 weeks, which makes him 11 weeks early. I got you on the math there. This means a long stay in the NICU in Denver for Riley and my wife, which is a good 3.5 hour drive from our home. Luckily, since I'm a teacher, I was able to stay with them until school started. However, now that I'm back at school, I can only make the trip on weekends. Listening to the podcast during my drive and while I'm home alone during the week helps put the smile on my face and brighten my day in spite of everything else that's happening. Plus, the occasional mock draft on the ESPN Fantasy app is a great distraction. My wife would say it's more than occasional. But the best news of all is that both mom and baby are healthy. Riley's growing and getting stronger every day. And that's the best that we can hope for at this point. My wife is also feeling helpful. I would love to be a part of the show league and be able to join you guys in all the fantasy fun. Even if nothing else, just to let you know that you have brightened my day through a really difficult time for our young family. I want to thank you for everything. Randy, the NICU dad.
I love that his name is Randy, the NICU dad, because he's identified with being in the NICU. And Riley, the best news is that Riley is getting healthier and getting stronger every day. As somebody who had a brother who was born as a preemie.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Aww. Yeah. I'm sure my brother's really happy that I just threw it out to everyone. But look, here he is going strong with kids of his own. So yes, the people who work in the NICUs do wonderful things. And, but it can be it's so challenging and scary and terrifying for parents. And here he is with this horrible commute back and forth and having to be alone during the week while he's still teaching. Not only using fantasy football in the classroom to help his kids learn math, but then we're entertaining him on the ride.
Most of all, totally in to hear that Riley is healthy. That's great news right there. Would love, I don't know if Riley can do much in terms of making picks.
Yeah.
But as far as I'm concerned, Riley is the co-manager here. Can we make that, if we let them in, can we make this a part of the deal?
I think that's exactly how it would need to be. Riley would need to be a part of this fantasy team so that they can go on this journey together.
We've got a father-daughter lined up.
Yep.
We've got potentially a father-son lined up here as well.
And I just want to say before we go farther on this, we always have fun being able to do this and put people in the league, but it is such a refreshing and it means so much, I know, to all of us to be able to see the way that this dumb show that we do, how it impacts everybody. And it means the world that on a 3.5 hour trip, you want us to
You're
be a part of that journey with us.
That is not lost
on us at all.
Think about how much this is going to help, this draft. Just getting to the one night of drafting will mean a lot, I'm sure. To Randy, being at home for the week, that's got to be tough. So one night to have somebody to look forward to and make some dominant selections with Riley.
Absolutely.
Is there an NFL player, first name Riley, that they can take?
Riley Ridley, I believe, just was a rookie this year. Drafted the Bears, right?
Of course.
Daniel, you are another player. More targets there in Chicago. All right, I say it. Randy, are we in on this or what?
I think so.
Randy, the NICU dad?
Welcome to the show league.
Put it on the board.
Good stuff there. A few spots left to fill up.
A few spots. We'll figure that out tomorrow. But right now, why don't we go to some Twitter questions?
Welcome back, Keith, from a one-day hiatus. Social time.
Yeah, we'll do some social questions.
Our friend Nick Scott from the 06010 board wants to know, Nick, thoughts on Lamar Miller in Dynasty. We're stashing it on IR or no?
No.
A couple of things here. First of all, ACL tear after this year.
Second
of all,
in one word.
A free agent after this year. Yeah. So it depends on how many spots you have. I would say, speaking generally, I think he's 29 years old. I think he's the kind of player that would be more expendable than not in Dynasty.
You always talk about running backs after the age of 30. Lamar Miller, one of his values was that he'd been pretty consistent, and minus being a little bit banged up here and there, but he wasn't outstanding. It was a sort of middle of the road grinder. And now, ACL injury, another year, he'll be 30. No thanks. I'm looking for better options.
All right. The next question is from 2016 NBA champs. That was not me, by the way, that did that. That's the actual person who sent it in.
I don't know if I believe you, but carry on.
I'm not sure who won it that year. Just saying, it wasn't me.
I don't know. I don't remember either. Funny
okay, good.
How that happens.
So anyway, the question is, let's say you have none of the starters. Which handcuff are you more interested in drafting? Alexander Mattison, Darwin Thompson, Justice Hill, or Tony Pollard?
I'd have to say Tony Pollard because right now that's the only starter there's a question mark on.
Today.
Right? Right now Zeke's the only one that's in peril of missing week one out of those four players. Dalvin Cook, Damian Williams. Who else did he say in there in terms of backups or in terms of starters?
Alexander Mattison.
Yeah, that would be Dalvin Cook.
Yeah,
Thompson, Damian Williams.
And Justice Hill.
Justice Hill would be
Mark Ingram. I would say got to be Tony Pollard because of the Zeke question mark.
Yeah.
Well, dovetailing off that, there are a couple of questions I'm going to combine from the chat here from Chris and Ryan. So there's sort of two questions that come out of it. I want to make it as useful for the most people as possible here for our listeners. So I'm going to combine some questions here.
Very cool of you for being not cool. Go ahead.
Not bad, huh? So one is, if you have Zeke, should you be trading for Tony Pollard? We'll start with that.
Yes.
Yes. I still think it's going to get done. But if it doesn't, like, yes, you actively want to protect yourself. And even so, what if Zeke gets hurt?
And then I guess off of that one, this is still the first question. What would you be willing to, what are you trying to give up there is the question.
You know there's going to be a premium. The other manager is going to be I'll give you him.
Yeah, somebody is going to dangle.
Somebody's going to gouge you probably.
Yeah.
You're not, it's really hard to say in a vacuum. It's really hard to say in a vacuum.
I agree. I just wondered,
right.
How desperate should you be
giving up,
going to get him?
I'm not giving up a top wide receiver that. I also depends, Mitch Field would say this, it depends on who your other running backs are.
No question. In a vacuum, it's way too hard to say, but definitely not somebody that you have plans to start every single week going into the season.
Fair. Okay. Then the second one was, if you have Pollard, but not Zeke, should you be trying to trade him to the manager who has Zeke?
Sure, yes. If you can get a starter, absolutely.
I feel more strongly about that.
Right.
Yeah.
No question. I feel more comfortable going that direction because you might be able to do really well for yourself.
This is selling high versus buying low, right? That's what it really is in this case. So, or selling high versus buying high. I'm all in on selling high.
I know it's always hard to give specific examples, but it was a combination of a couple questions.
No, it's a fair question. I would say, though, that if you can get somebody that you have confidence will start for you week one for Tony Pollard because people are buying the buzz, I would 100% do that right now.
So the last question here is from David, and he just wants to know how you construct your bench, like the number of running backs and wide receivers that you use or risk reward.
Yeah.
What's your general approach when you're
coming out of the draft? I'm always thinking upside. I don't really necessarily care about, I want to have at least one backup. I don't want to come out of the draft with just two running backs. I don't even think ESPN allows you to have that many wide receivers. But I'm not looking for an even split. I got to have same number of running backs as I do wide receivers. It's all about finding the upside here. And if I have a top running back that requires a handcuff, doing my best to have that player. But I think
maybe looking at a couple of guys who are handcuffs, and I don't care if I have their number one starter. Guys who are considered handcuff-ish. I think Austin Eckler is a good person to have in your room because somebody may need him, and he may also get you a lot of plenty of value.
You could trade Austin Eckler, you could potentially use him. Yeah.
I've got a lot of shares of Darwin Thompson specifically because of where he's going and the upside of...
Again, I'm just sound silly, but they don't award points for second place at the end of the season in fantasy football. You got to win the league. So I almost always focus in on upside. And then small things do you need a second quarterback? If your tight end is hurt at the beginning of the season, how do you construct? But generally speaking, upside aplenty.
I am not a fan of putting players on my bench who are going to be either suspended or injured for a significant period of time just so I have them because I feel like that's a wasted spot. And if I have somebody who goes down, I want somebody who at least has a chance to come in. That's my personal preference. So I've seen people drafting Kareem Hunt. I'm just not interested in doing that and putting that on my bench for all that period of time. I would rather, like Field said, go with the upside play.
I appreciate that because you can play for the first 8 weeks, Stefania. I'll play for all the weeks after that. No big deal.
There you go. Okay, we are back tomorrow with other stuff. No more double trouble left, so I'm not sure what we'll get into.
We're talking about injury concerns going into the season.
Injury concerns from Stefania, plus a bunch of 10 lists of 10 stuff from Matthew. In the meantime, continue to find us all over the internet, podcasting, you name it. Seriously, you're going to find us. Find out for yourself. Talk to you guys later.
Peace out.
You're in the 06010. Never gonna hustle, in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me, because I don't think you could.
Jailbait, Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret Squirrel, Daniel Dodd.
Make